Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, Driven Woman. I hope that you enjoyed last week's interview with Laura DiBenedetto about what she discovered about the habits that actually lead to happiness and genuine success. This week, we come back to the series on upper limit issues and your zone of genius from the transformational book, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. You could say I'm pretty obsessed with this book, and I have been for some time. I think it was first printed in 2005. Now, when I was in grad school at UCLA, before I became a psychotherapist, I learned about competence and the psychology behind developing competence. But when I read the book, The Big Leap, it took my understanding about conscious competence and incompetence to a whole new level, because Dr. Hendricks introduced the zone of excellence and the zone of genius. And I'm going to break that down for you. But suffice to say that everyone has their own unique zone of genius. Everyone. You may not think you have one. You may not think of yourself as a genius at all. But you, yes, you have a zone of genius. So do I, and so does everyone else. No one, including me, can tell you exactly what your zone of genius looks like, but you can discover it for yourself with a little focused effort and mindful awareness. Now, a little bit later in this episode, I'm going to walk you through a process that I use myself and I recommend to my clients. But first, I want to talk a little bit about why does this even matter? Like, who cares? Right? It's just this one more shelf help to learn about and set it aside. Well, I don't think so. Because as I explained in episode 63 and 65, we're now in 67, each of us has an internal thermostat that prevents us from really experiencing all the happiness, success, and well-being that we could actually enjoy in life. Now, many of my coaching clients actually hire me because they have plateaued in their business and life, and they don't know how to move to the next level. Whatever the next level is for them, could be the next level of income, it could be the next level of visibility and authority in their niche, it could be the next level of how many clients they serve or the way they serve them. Now, if I was your typical business coach, I would fire up a spreadsheet, start talking about business models, paid advertising, and how to scale their offers. But what I've learned from my own entrepreneurial journey is that until you actually understand your upper limit issues and discover your zone of genius, you're probably not going to find more satisfaction at the next level. In fact, you're probably going to experience further disillusionment and maybe even burnout. So I take people on the inner journey of discovering what their own personal limits are to happiness, success, income, well-being, relationship. We all have them. We all have them. Once we identify those upper limits, and if you want to get the worksheet for that, it's in the show notes for episode 63, and I've also included it in the show notes for today's episode, along with the link to a worksheet for overcoming your limiting beliefs. So it's a three in the series, 63, 65, and 67. I've linked to all three of them in today's show notes, so you can get boom, 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 even if you didn't listen to the other episodes yet. But the reason why this matters is because the zone of genius is our destination. In order to reach our destination, or what many people like to think of as our full potential, our purpose even, why we're here, the thing that's ultimately going to allow us to use our unique gifts and make the contribution that would be most satisfying to us, we need to get our upper limit issues identified, addressed, and neutralized so that we can enter our zone of genius. So I'm going to give you a couple of terms first, and then I'm going to walk you through the process that I use. Now, when I first started learning about competence, there's the incompetence, conscious incompetence, unconscious competence. It's all very complicated. You can go to Wikipedia for that or your old psychology textbooks. But from the perspective of zone of genius, I'm going to talk about four zones. Zone of genius is where we're headed. But there are a couple of other zones as well. For example, your zone of incompetence. Now, I have a ton of stuff in my zone of incompetence, things that may be really easy for other people to do, but for me, excruciating. For example, I'm hopeless in the kitchen. You've heard me mention it before. I'm a disaster. My kids even accused me of trying to kill them with my cooking when they were growing up at home. Obviously, I wasn't trying to kill anybody. I just wasn't any good at it. There's a lot of things I'm not good at. I don't type very quickly. There's just things I don't do well. So they're in my zone of incompetence. Now, in your zone of incompetence, these are all the things that you don't do well. You probably don't like doing them because you don't do them well. And because you don't like them and you're not good at them, you don't really have any incentive or motivation to get better at them because chances are you're never going to be any good anyway. These are the things that it's really smart to get someone else to do. Right? One of your kids, your partner, and if it's in a business context, please, please hire someone. Like, you do not want me keeping my own books. And thank you to my long-term bookkeeper. I don't have to, and I'm not in trouble with the government ever because I know bookkeeping is in my zone of incompetence, so I don't go there. I hire that out. Now, next up is the zone of competence. These are the things that you can do. You may not like them as much as other things, and they probably could be, should be, and maybe are done by someone else. But if you had to, you could. And things like this for me, like I wasted a ton of time in my earlier on in my entrepreneurial journey thinking I needed to do everything. This is a common mindset block for many new entrepreneurs. We don't have a lot of money. We think we need to do all the things. We're not far enough along to get help, or we think we can't afford it, or both. So we continue to do things that are in the zone of competence, maybe barely competent. I tried to build my own WordPress website, me. And any of those of you who know me very well are probably falling over laughing by now. And when I found it to be too difficult, instead of having the common sense to find someone on Fiverr or Upwork or somewhere else and hire, I bought another course and I tried to build a Squarespace website because I just thought it was the wrong platform. No, 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 darling. Building a website is in your zone of competence, but just barely. I could do it. And if you put a gun to my head, took away my income source, or bribed me with a lot of money, I could do it, but I shouldn't, and someone else could, right? Next up is the zone of excellence. Now, the zone of excellence for most of us who have been reasonably successful in our career or business life is because we spend most, if not all, of our working time in our zone of excellence. Now, these are the things that we're actually good at. We may be very good at. They may have even brought us a good reputation, success, and a steady stream of clients or referrals. I spent many years in my zone of excellence, but it didn't make my chili cook. It didn't make my heart sing. It didn't light my brain up like a Christmas tree, because even though I was good at it, even though I liked being good at it, even though I was known as good at it, and I got a steady stream of clients because I was good at it, it was my zone of excellence. And I didn't even know there was anything beyond that And maybe you are the same. This whole zone of genius, like, I'm not a genius. What are you talking about? Well, you don't have to be an actual, like, intellectual genius to have a zone of genius. Your zone of genius is those things that you absolutely love doing and you're ridiculously good at. It may be cake decorating, it may be dog training, it may be composing music on the guitar, it may be breaking down complicated subjects into easy to follow instructions. It may be public speaking, it may be treating wounds. It could be anything. It could be research. It could be writing. It could be humor. It could be quick, decisive action in moments of crisis and turmoil. But if it's your zone of genius, you love, love, love doing these things, and you're so good at them that when other people say, how did you do that? Legitimately, how the hell did you just do that? You can't even say how. It's almost like it's the gift with purchase, meaning it came with you into this world. You may have developed it, but it's your gift. It's what I like to call my magic. And each of us has our magic. That is our zone of genius. These are the things that give you the most abundance and the most satisfaction compared to the amount of time spent. Like, for example, a friend of mine is married to a surgeon. He is world renowned for what he does. The part of the surgery that he does, like, he created a technique that is known over the entire world. It only takes 3 minutes. He invented it. He's known for it. It's literally 3 minutes of his time. And he saves lives in that 3 minutes. It's almost effortless for him. Now, if you've ever seen someone do stand-up comedy and it seems like they are totally winging it, they're literally ad-libbing it, playing off the people in the audience and just making it up as they go along, and everything that comes out of their mouth is brilliant, that's a zone of genius. If you've seen someone in the kitchen who literally didn't expect company and 40 minutes later has something that looks like a three-course meal on the table, just thrown together from what they happen to have in the fridge and cupboards, zone of genius. People who know what to say and what to do in situations that render other people brain dead and speechless, zone of genius. Now, I don't know what yours is, but, and you may not know it either, but grab a pen, because here's the process that I like to take my clients through, and it just may uncover your zone of genius. And by the way, when I'm about to walk you through, this is not the information that's in the worksheet. That is additional information. So this information I'm going to give you right now will be in the show notes, and the additional information will be in the worksheet, but you need to enter your email address to get that. Okay, so to discover your unique zone of genius, you may already know what it is, in which case, go out and rock that shit. You don't need this. But for the rest of us, here we go. I recommend that you take a walk, spend time in nature, or even do a brief meditation session. Whatever tried and true practice helps move you into a more intuitive state where your awareness and focus is increased. Some people like to get out a journal or pull out their laptop or their tablet. Some people need to set a timer so that their mind doesn't wander too much. But the real trick here is don't push too hard. Don't try to force it. Don't try to push or pull. Your innate wisdom is always there, just beneath the surface. So what we want to do is invite it to arise naturally, not force it to the surface. I want you to engage with each of these questions as long as it feels joyful and you can be in a state of anticipation and curiosity. The minute it starts to feel like work, shove it away. Return to it later. Please don't force it. It just doesn't work that way. Your zone of genius is lightly covered by the worries and cares and busyness of your everyday life, but it's right there because it's the most natural, gifted part of you. But the more we try to force it to reveal itself, the more difficult it will be. Don't spend more than 45 minutes on this. In fact, you may need to spend considerably less. And for the perfectionist in the audience, hand raised, spend less time than that. We do not want this to feel like work. And for perfectionists, it can totally feel like a rabbit hole. So here are the questions you want to invite your mind to answer. When do you feel most alive and energized? What are you doing in those moments? What are you thinking in those moments? What are you feeling? And how are you doing this thing? How are you doing this thing? Is it a thinking about? Is it something you're doing with your hands? Does it involve other people? Do you need to be outside or inside? Is it a time of day thing? Are there seasons to it? Does it take you by surprise? Can you tap into it at will? This is to get you in touch with that zone of genius. I've had many people tell me, for example, especially women, I can't come up with the right solutions just off the top of my head. But if someone needs me and they have a problem, it's right there. So for that person to activate their zone of genius, there needs to be a need from another person. Okay, so that's an example. Now, when you're in your zone of excellence, now remember, these are the moments where you probably have built an entire business or career around your zone of excellence. But even within that zone of excellence, there are moments. There are special moments that you rise to a higher level. These are like the fist pump moments, the happy dance moments, the moments where you suddenly feel dramatic change in your brain chemistry. You feel joy. You feel that you are performing at your finest. It's not every minute. It's sometimes, but it is a dramatically different feeling, an elevated feeling from what you are doing in that zone of excellence, job, or business the rest of the time. Think about those. What are you doing? What are you experiencing in those times? You see, the thing about the zone of genius is it isn't necessarily a set aside or a carve out. It's not something that's separated from the rest of your life or the rest of your business. It can be moments that you experience within your current business, within your current job, but it's because you're doing specific things in a specific way and you're experiencing a different mental state and an emotional reaction. Here's another question. When you join a work or social group, what do you bring to the table or the party that wasn't there before you arrived? Could be your sense of humor. It could be your deep perspective on conversation. It could be your level of energy. It could be the dramatic way you show up. It could be your appearance that just has everyone's jaw dropping. So when you join a group, what do you bring to the table? What do you bring to the party? If you have gotten through these questions with me so far, you should see a pattern. This pattern may begin to help you understand what your genuine gifts are and what operating in your zone of genius looks like and feels like. For more information, to take a deeper dive, or if this is just the tip of the iceberg for you, but now you're hooked and you want to know more, get the worksheet that's linked to in the show notes. And you may want to go ahead and buy the book. I will link to that as well. I don't get a commission or kickback or anything, but if you're really captivated by this concept of upper limit issues and the zone of genius the way I am, you're probably going to want to get that book. Get it on Audible, read it, do a deep dive. There are several companion follow-up books, but start with this one. And most importantly, don't just read the book or listen to the book. Like, really focus it on your own business and your own life. As far as we know, we're only here once. And if you've taken the leap to go into business for yourself and you've built a business that you love, but it's really not in your zone of genius, I think you owe it to yourself to find what that zone of genius is and have more of those moments. That's where the real joy lies. And that does not feel like work. So I hope you enjoyed this series. It was a lot of fun for me to do a deep dive into it. I seriously can't get enough of these concepts, using them on my own life and using them in the work that I do with my coaching clients. So feel free to DM me on Instagram at Coach Diane Wingert and let me know what you thought. See you next week, Driven Woman. Hey, it's Diane. Can I be honest with you? At the beginning of each new year, I always told myself, this is the year I'm going to get my habits dialed in. This is the year I'm going to be crystal clear about my goals and I'm going to crush them. This is the year I'm going to get my shit together on every level and I'm going to do it all by myself. Been there, done that, got a whole stack of t-shirts. But you know, it wasn't until I started working with my own coach that I realized what a difference it makes to have guidance, support, and accountability from someone who's not only like-minded, but like-brained. Yeah, I'm talking about another driven woman, entrepreneur, who also has ADHD and has got it going on. I have two openings in my signature one-on-one 12-week coaching program, and one of them might have your name on it. There's a link to a free consult with me in the show notes if you think this might be the year that you really get serious and go all in on an ADHD-friendly business and life. While you're thinking about that, have a listen to what one of my client's success stories has to say about the difference it made to work with me.
I adopted this phrase of, this is what we do here, instead of trying to make it, like for the longest time, I was trying to make it fit everybody's need, where you were attracted.
Yes.
So that was, I think, the struggle bus. And I don't think I was aware of that. I was, just because I love people, and when you have potential, I can help you get there. So I think I was allowing too much wiggle. And that's what you helped me through mostly in my memory of like figuring out that it's okay to say, no, this is what we do here. This is that stance. And that's how Beyond Common, you know, 12 Essentials for Success in Life, it finally was completed. It was just like this pieces and parts of things that we had done that worked to make us successful. But it was like through that figuring out how to connect everything. And definitely your influence helped me so much. Like it was like, you know, you're an angel.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.